The History of the Leech Lake Reservation with Elaine Fleming. This program is supported by funds from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Bosho ninde na we magani dug, beshiko benesi akwe indigo mang indu dame. Ga os esquajime kag indun jaba, ga misqua wa kokoak inda. Elaine Fleming indition a cause. Miigwech minobi madisiwin. Miigwech for this good life and the chance to share with you again some of the history of Leech Lake. You know, Ojibwe people like to tell stories, and those stories have to do with their lives and their histories and their memories, and that's how we keep those ones who have gone on. That's one of the ways that we keep them alive, all those ones who we've known and loved and still do. And so there was a project done on oral history in 2007 to 2008. And in this particular project, they interviewed people from the Onigum area, the new and the old agency, which is kind of an interesting thought to me, because I always knew of when I'm going to Onigum, I would drive through old agency and then I would come to Onigum. But in the oral interviews that they did, they would refer to old agency as old agency, but they would refer to Onigum as new agency, because in the 30s, that's when they moved from old agency to the new agency, which is commonly called Onigum. So I want to continue to talk about a man named Jim Bidou, a really good man and quite the storyteller. And he was born in Onigum in 1939. His dad on his paternal side was Joe Bidou, and his mother's name was Mary Jane Pell. He said that his grandparents on his father's side was John Bidou and Isabel Aiken. And then on his mother's side, his grandpa's name was Bill Pell, and his grandma's name was Anna Lamont. And he talked about living in Onigum during these oral interviews. He was interviewed by Cecilia McKeague, one of the historians. And he talked about in some of the old buildings, and he talked about the old barns that used to be in the Onigum area. And I remember one of the old barns, because when I was a little girl, we used to go up to Onigum and we would powwow there on weekends. And I remember specifically after the powwows that sometimes we would go to an old barn and we would square dance there. And the adults would be doing their square dancing, and the little kids, we would have our own little circle, and we would also be dancing in these barns. That's just the memory I have. So then Jim, he talks about those old barns, that there were several of them in the Onigum area. He talked about his family that originally they didn't live in Onigum. He said that they were kind of like migrants who had moved into Onigum, after the 30s. And he said that prior to that, that his family had their own allotments. And he talked about their allotments were around Leech Lake by Doc's Lodge. that they own some land where this old man named Bob Baker lived, and they had some land up at Webster Lake towards what they called Marcos Lake. And it's just really interesting, too. You know, this was 1934 was an Indian reorganization era. And but prior to that, we had the assimilation era. And during that era was when they enacted the Allotment Act. And it was to end tribalism and to help us to become good citizens of the United States of America. And it was really interesting, you know, that when they gave us these allotments, that the allotments were not one large allotment, but that there were two allotments. For here on Leech Lake, we and my family, again, we had 40 acres up by Big Lake, and then we had 40 acres many miles south of there on Cass Lake. And I had mentioned before about how in Montana, where they had more land, that some of the peoples, they would get 80 acres in their case. They would get 80 acres on the western side of Montana, and then on the eastern side, they'd get another 80 acres. And it had been explained to me in allotments that here on Leech Lake that they gave us 40 acres of land for sugar bush, because that was the way we got our sugar, and it was a way of sustaining ourselves too economically. And then we got 40 acres of land for farming. But it was also thought to be a way to gain more of our land, because we wouldn't live on both allotments. And so we would generally sell at least half of those allotments. And then we know today that those allotments, the ones that we maintained, that they're so fractionated, you really couldn't live on anything that's left over now. But so he talked about them living on their allotment land and then moving to Onicum after the 30s, his family. And he said that maybe the reason they did that was because there was just, that's where the stores were, or the that's where the activity was, that's where the hospital was, the schools, etc. So they moved into town. And he was asked how the community back then got their firewood for cooking or heating their homes. And here he talks about the horses. Back then, he said that the horses go and they would take them out into the woods and cut the trees, and then they would haul the wood back to the houses in Onigum. And he mentions that sometimes these horses would fall through the lake, and that people would fall through the lake, because, you know, in the wintertime back then and even today, that the people of Onigum would use the lake as their highway, their road to get from Onigum across the bay to Walker. And he talked about back during that time that the woods, the big trees were disappearing. They had been cut down. And how the people had to go farther away from their homes to gather their wood. And he talked about the big pines that had originally been there, how they had been used to build the buildings in New Agency in Onigum. And how everything, he said, came from within, how they even had their own sawmill at the time. When Jim was asked about maple sap, where did they get it? He talked about mostly that was done out at Stony Point. And I looked at the map as I was reading the oral histories, just to see where Stony Point was. And he said out on Stony Point, everybody like the Jackson family and the Manels were out there. His family were out that way. And that There were quite a few families that lived in the Stony Point area. But they would go out there, and that's where they would collect their maple sap, and they would make maple sugar. And he commented about that maple sugar, that you could melt that down and you could make a syrup out of it too. When he was asked about gathering wild rice, he talked about people traveling to the bays around Leech Lake, and that there was wild rice all around Leech Lake. And so he said that most people traveled and then they would camp by the wild rice beds. They'd travel in these trucks, and they'd load the trucks up with their tar paper and their axes and their saws and their nails. And then they'd build their own houses out there. And one day, when they got out to the camping area by the wild rice beds, and they would use some old popple trees so that they could make their frames for their houses, and then they'd wrap their tar paper around those houses. And they would build things like that look like sawhorses, and then they would lay their mattress spring on top of it so that they could sleep comfortably. And they would have little heaters, and they would do most of their cooking outside. But he remembers they would go camping when they would go wild ricing. They'd have their ricing camp. So I'm going to continue my talk about Jim Bedu and his memories of Anigam in the next session again. And we're going to begin at that point in talking about fishing. And so I say, Miigwech bisen dawi ek, Miigwech, meet you. Ya eh ha, hey ah, hey ah, ya eh ha.